Well, happy Mother's Day to all the moms. And Lily's word about the joy in the journey, just recapping from yesterday, that the flag of joy is up.
Amen.
When the king is in the heart, when the king is in the castle. I don't know if I got that straight, but the flag of joy is up, and that flag of joy says the king is in the heart.
Amen.
And that is so apropos in regards to what I want to talk about today, because we're continuing a short series on enduring hardship as training. Allowing the Lord to use all things in our lives. And the way that we are able to allow the Lord to use all things in our lives to train us really comes down to that attitude of joy. That beatitude of gratitude and joy in our life. And that enables us to receive that hardship and to allow God to do what He wants to do in our lives through it. And of course, mothers, more than anyone else, are able to understand that patient endurance that is needed for the sake of others. When our children cry in the night, the other night we discovered that Nehemiah did some serious sleepwalking. He might have even eaten in his sleep.
Wow.
He did some serious sleepwalking. You like to go to bed without your shirt on, right? Because he sweats a lot and stuff. I mean, you go in the middle of the night, he puts, his like bed is like soaking with sweat. And so he actually went down to the basement and put on a blanket because he was cold. And we even think he might have even eaten in his sleep. It was quite an experience the other night. And mothers, more than anyone else, when something is moving in the home, something's going on in the home, the mothers know about it. All right? The fathers kind of sleep through it, generally speaking, I'll say. All right? We don't want to, corner people too much. But generally speaking, the mothers are the ones that really God has ingrained in them that focus on others and to be able to patiently endure things for the sake of others. Paul spoke of this training when he shared to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, says, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I'd like us to start out by turning to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. With great patience and careful instruction. Friday at the end of school, we had a half day. We're having staff development. And whenever there's that half day, there's a lot of things that kind of come together at once. The schedule's been compressed, and you don't have as much time for dismissal, and we don't have homework club, and so parents are trying to scramble to get there on time and pick up at 12 o'clock and so forth, and so much is going on. I remember I was confronted, or I was dealing with, one kind of was brought to my attention ahead of time, but I was going to deal with it at the end of school, with three different covenantal issues simultaneously. And it just kind of converged. And I like taking care of things. I like resolving things. Sometimes Sylvia tells me that, you might not be able to resolve it right now. But I like taking care of things and resolving things. And when these things come into our lives, we can't lose our head in these situations. God is calling us to patiently help people to resolve each and every matter in a way that is pleasing to Him. And We have to endure hardship because as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we are going to endure hardship. We're going to have these times in our lives where it seems like it's coming at us from all different directions, and God calls us to handle those situations in a way that's pleasing to Him. It's the ministry of reconciliation. It's the ministry of being a peacemaker. If we're going to be a soldier of Jesus Christ, if we're going to be involved in ministry, if we're going to be used by God, and in this church we do, we are a body life church, we believe that we are all believer priests, we believe that we are all growing to be ministers of Jesus Christ, we believe that all of us have a place in the body to be able to be used by Him. If we're going to be used by God, we need to be involved in these activities. Preaching the Word. Being prepared even at a moment's notice, in season and out of season. Bringing correction. Rebuking and encouraging. One of the qualifications of an elder is what is called gainsay. You analyze that word. What is gainsay? It means to say against. That is one of the most difficult things in life. To say against. To be able to share against. And to be able to do that in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Amen. To be able to share heart to heart with somebody and say, well, let me share with you from the Word of God. Because we're committed to the Word of God. We're involved in holding to the truth of Scripture and to the truth of what Jesus has called us to. And that truth is teaching disciples to obey everything that God has commanded. You know, words like obedience and the truth are not very popular in our society today. But God calls us to share the truth in a way that's pleasing to Him. Teaching disciples to obey everything He commanded. And it's constant. And so we need training to endure hardship because that's the life of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. They won't put up with sound instruction. They won't put up with the soundness of the Word of God. All right, we're experiencing that in our society today. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. If we are going to live for Jesus Christ, we will experience opposition. We will experience persecution even. Look at verse 5. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Endure hardship. Keep your head in all situations. God is calling us to embrace hardship because that is what He's doing in our lives to prepare us for what we have to be as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. The Apostle Paul is saying he's already being poured out like a drink offering. You take a drink offering and just pour it out. All right, just being poured out like a drink offering. Everything about him is being poured out. If you are a soldier of Jesus Christ, you will be poured out. There will be times where it seems like everything that every last drop of what you have inside of you, every last drop of motivation, resourcefulness, energy is being poured out. I know mothers feel this. All right, being poured out, and particularly in working with young children, just being poured out. If you are going to be a soldier of Jesus Christ, you will gain that understanding of what it means to be poured out, where you don't have anything left within you. You are giving your life away. Jesus said, he who finds his life will lose his life. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. When we endure hardship as training, all right, we feel like everything in us is being poured out. Look at verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Fight the good fight. You know, I don't know if anyone saw the fight between Manny Pacquiao and
Mayweather.
All right, Mayweather. Sorry. I wanted to see it, but I don't have that kind of money for pay-per-view. All right, and you fight the good fight. Whenever you fight the good fight, are you going to fight a perfect fight? No, you're not. There's going to be some times where you miss the punch. There's going to be some times where you get hit. There's going to be some times where you go down in the canvas and you fail. But you get back up and you fight the good fight of faith. You fight the good fight. We are in that good fight. The race. To finish the race. And this race is not a sprint. The Bible says the race is not to the swift. That encourages me because I like to run, but I'm not so fast as some other guys. All right, the race is not to the swift, but to finish the race.
Amen.
We're to finish the race. I want to finish this race. This race is a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash. It is a marathon. This Christian walk. To keep the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what we want so much, to keep that faith. And that's what we want with these young people that we're raising up. That they will keep the faith of Jesus Christ. They will keep the faith through high school. They will keep the faith through college and young adulthood. That they will be established in their faith in Jesus Christ. They will keep the faith. And that's what we're after. And that's what we want the young people to really understand. Every single young person in here. I know the children are down in kids' church. But when we're talking to you and trying to counsel you and encourage you and even work with your parents, all right, you've got to know that our desire is always for you. Our desire is always for you, never against you. Even if we might be bringing up some issues, all right, our desire is for you. That you would keep the faith, that you would stay in love with Jesus Christ, that you would come into that place.
Amen.
We're for you. We want the best for you. And that is the long-term establishment of your faith in Jesus Christ. It may not feel good right now. Because the Bible says no discipline seems pleasant at the time. But in the end it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness for those that have been trained by it. In the end. And so it's a long-term view. It's what we desire for you and what God desires for you. We want you to really understand that. Hebrews 10:35 says, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." I know for me, all right, when I'm going down for the count, all right, and I'm fighting the good fight, all right, and so forth and so on, this verse encourages me to not throw away my confidence. It will be richly rewarded to keep my confidence in Jesus Christ, to keep fighting the good fight of faith. It says you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. This word for perseverance in the Greek, it's hypomeno. It means patiently endure. Patiently endure. Has a sense of working through obstacles and difficulties. All right, if you've ever gone running along Great Seneca Creek, there's times where the path goes out and you're running along some areas where there's no path. And you're going through all these obstacles and briars and thorns and so forth. And you know, the creek is kind of like the compass. You know, as long as you know where the creek is, you know you're not lost. You can get out of the woods. All right, but you're dealing with all these obstacles and difficulties. All right, the briars of life. But you got to persevere through all that. How are we, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, to see our hardships? Are you a soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to be a soldier for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to put your life on the line for Him? How are we to see our hardships if we're to be those soldiers that God is calling us to be, so that God can train us, so that He can equip us, so that He can grow us? Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. starting at verse 2. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance." There's that word again. "Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." What is the perspective toward hardship that we need to have? The perspective is that we need to receive hardship as a gift from God. That there's a purpose to the hardship. There's a purpose to the trial. There's a perseverance during the hardship. And this perseverance during the hardship, what it does, it is a great aid to helping us to grow in Christ-like maturity. When we persevere through hardship, we grow in Christ-like maturity, and that is what the Lord wants in our lives. Verse 5. "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Ask God for wisdom. Inquire of the Lord. Commit your way to him. What do we do? What do we do if we lack wisdom when we're going through these hardships? What do? We ask God. Sounds so simple. We ask God. We ask God for wisdom. Wisdom that enables us to have a right perspective toward those trials, toward those hardships. We have been given an anthology of wisdom. That anthology is the book of Proverbs in addition to the whole Word of God. And the prologue to the book of Proverbs, it says that Proverbs are for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Discipline, wisdom, it's what we need. Proverbs 2:10 says, "For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you." Wisdom protects and guards us. Wisdom protects and guards our marriages and our children and our families. Wisdom is not just knowledge. Wisdom is practical knowledge. Wisdom is not just worldly understanding about things, being worldly wise. Wisdom is spiritual understanding and discernment. Spiritual discernment is to really what is going on. What is happening here? Getting to the heart issue. And when we're undergoing hardship, we need wisdom to have the perspective that God wants us to have toward that hardship. We need wisdom. Let's look further into this wisdom that we need when we're enduring hardship. I'd like us to turn to James chapter 3. And as I read these verses, I want you to think of a personal hardship that you are going through right now. Name it in your mind. Name it in your mind. A specific personal hardship that you're going through right now. Let's look at James 3:13. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The humility that comes from wisdom. Undergoing hardships. Learning to walk in the humility that comes from wisdom. Look at verse 14. "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." Wisdom, walking in the truth. Being able to face the truth. What is really the truth about this hardship? What is truly going on here? Instead of trying to get out from the truth, instead of getting out from, say, the trouble that might be caused if you're admitting to the truth, but walking in the truth. Look at verse 15. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. The worldly wisdom says, if you can get away with it, do it. If you can get away with it, just go ahead and do it. But of course, that is not God's wisdom. That's earthly wisdom. Verse 16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. With worldly wisdom, it ends up in disorder. Disorder occurs. Disorder occurs in companies. Disorder occurs in families. And you have every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Again, think of that hardship that you're going through right now. Think about how these values impact that hardship of true wisdom, purity, peace-loving, handling that hardship in a peace-loving way, being considerate of others, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. You think of the Beatitude, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Impartial, showing impartiality, and sincere, sincerity. Verse 18, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. True wisdom brings about peacemaking and raising a harvest of right living. Now, I won't have you raise your hands, but how many of you on that item that you thought in your mind about a hardship that you're going right through right now had to do with other people? Something to do with other people. We have one, a bold one here, is willing to raise his hand. You don't have to raise your hand. Enduring hardship is often in working with people.
Right.
You see the handles that the Lord gives us here, and being able to endure that hardship in a way that's pleasing to Him. God gives us practical handles regarding how to work with people in every kind of situation. The question is, will we walk it out? Things such as purity and loving peace, being considerate of others, being submissive, being full of mercy. Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? There's a way to put up the standard, yes, the justice, but then also to offer mercy. There is a way to do that. These are not conflicting things that we can walk in as true soldiers of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the challenge. But a true soldier of Jesus Christ doesn't shy away from the challenge to do justice and to love mercy at the same time.
Amen.
And to walk humbly before your God. Let's go back to James chapter 1, verse 6. All right, so we're talking about asking for wisdom. We're going through trials. We need to receive that hardship as from the Lord to help us to grow, to be the good soldier of Jesus Christ that God is calling us to be. And so we need wisdom. We need wisdom as to how to endure that trial. Verse 6. And so we're asking for wisdom. But when he asks for wisdom, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So what is James saying here? He's saying, don't ask God for help and guidance and then not heed it. He's saying, don't ask for wisdom and then not do what the wisdom says to do.
Right.
Don't ask for help and instruction and then not do what the Word says to do. He's saying, don't be double-minded. Commit your way to the Lord and then obey. There's no vacillation. To take the step of faith in God and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to believe your word that the righteous live by faith. It's how we walk. And I'm going to take that step of faith. I'm going to do your word. I'm not just going to hear your word. I'm going to do your word. And let God direct our steps. We know what to do. The biblical question is this. Are we willing to do the word? Are we willing to honor him and follow through? Ephesians 4:14 says, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is ahead, that is Christ." And that's the goal. Growing up into him who is ahead, that is Jesus Christ. What kind of soldiers do we need? We need soldiers of Jesus Christ that won't lose their head. That won't be tossed all over the place and be double-minded. But that are steady in Christ. Ones that speak the truth and love even amid the storms. And don't get stormy about it. To endure hardship as training. Look at verse 9. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. It's a hardship. The trial of being poor. The trial of being poor in worldly wealth and not having money and always living paycheck to paycheck and dealing with debt and so forth. The trial of being poor is a hardship. But here James says, that brother should take pride in his high position. Look at verse 10. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. This is also a hardship. There's the trial of being wealthy.
Right.
Typically, you don't think it's a trial when you have enough money and you're wealthy. But what is the trial here? What is the hardship of riches? James says it's a low position. You may ask, why is being rich a trial? Well, it's a trial because we risk placing our dependence upon our wealth as opposed to depending upon God.
Teach.
And you want to be in a place where you need God. You want to be in a place where you're dependent upon the Lord. That doesn't mean you have to be living from paycheck to paycheck, but as your posture before God is, you know your dependence upon Jesus Christ. You know that you need him. You know that even your ability to create wealth, as the Bible tells us, comes from him. And where you need God's grace and his presence in your life every single day of your life, where you're on your knees before him, you want to be in a place of being dependent upon Jesus Christ. Wealth could be lost. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we are not defined by whether we are rich or poor in earthly possessions. The question is, what remains? What is your core? What gold has Christ wrought in you? Yes, through hardship. What is the gold that's inside of you? Proverbs 17:3 says, "The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." Enduring hardships is like a purifying process of fire that gets to the heart. It gets to the heart motivation. It gets to why we live our lives. If material goods and money and possessions leave us, what remains? If all of a sudden we lose our job, we lose our house, lose things that are of this world that are important to us, what remains? Will our relationship with Jesus Christ remain? Will our relationship with our spouse remain? Will our relationships with our children remain? Will our relationships with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ remain? What remains? if that would happen. What remains, that's the gold that the Lord is training into you through His purifying process of fire as we endure these hardships. That's the true riches. That's the true gold. And the Lord works that in you through hardship. We've all read biographies of great people, lives of great people. People like Booker T. Washington, who heard of a Hampton Institute, and he just started going in that direction. And by himself, his parents weren't even with him. And when he got there, and he just showed up at the school door. And the principal or the director of the school was like, you know, she probably didn't know what to do. And she told him to go over and sweep the recitation room. And he realized he had an opportunity. And he cleaned that room up and down as best as he could possibly clean it. And when she went in there and saw how well he had cleaned that room, she allowed him to come into the school and be a student in that school. The night before, he was sleeping under some sidewalk, homeless. He went through some serious hardship. And even later on, as he tried to establish a school for African Americans, went through some serious hardship. When you read lives of great people, you recognize the hardship that they have gone through in their lives. And so we need to accept these hardships as good things, because God is calling us to be great in His kingdom. He defines that greatness, and that may be for another message, but God is calling you to be great in His kingdom. And in order for you to be great in His kingdom, you're going to have to go through some hardships. You're going to have to go through some things that help to make you the person that God is calling you to become. And that's a good thing in our lives. Look at verse 11. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers a plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. You see, it's not just going through the trial. It's not just going through the hardship. It's persevering through the trial.
Amen.
It's standing the test. It's being willing to have that beatitude of joy through it that allows God to do what He wants to do in your life and to bring that crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. What's the reward for standing the test? What's the reward for enduring hardship? What's the reward for enduring opposition for the sake of Christ? Again, it's that crown. It's the crown of life. That's the reward of your hardship, the reward of your training. A crown is from a Greek term for wreath, and it was given to a champion athlete. And it's a crown, James here says, a crown of life. What is your reward? It's life. It's abundant life. It's resurrection life. It's Christ life. But that wealth of life, okay, that's how you become rich. You become rich in life, in Christ's life, in His abundant life. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That's what life is about. Right living, joy, and peace. Alright? You know, in here, it's that life that God has for you. That's where your life is. It's not your bank account and, you know, how big your house is. And, you know, if you don't have righteousness and joy and peace in your relationships, in your personal life, in your relationships with your spouse, with your children, that's the life that God has for you, that crown of life. That's the wealth that God has for us. But that wealth of life is not to be hoarded. Part of that life is the privilege of sharing Christ's life with others. It's always others focused. the crown of life. What does the Lord do in our lives when we endure hardship as training? What does the Lord do when we apply God's word through that hardship? Psalm 1:3 says that He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever He does prospers. I'd like us all to bow our heads. How do we allow the Lord to use all things in our life to grow us, to be the soldiers of Jesus Christ that He's calling us to be? It's a beatitude of joy and gratefulness in our life. To see that hardship as something the Lord wants to use to grow us, to be more like Christ, to recognize that just like a soldier has to endure hardship, a soldier has to endure opposition. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we have to endure that to be equipped for what God is calling us to be. It's the surrender of resignation before Christ. To resign ourselves to Christ and to allow Him to not buck up against it, to not yell back at our drill sergeant, to not get an attitude, but to resign ourselves that I am here for training. I am here to be trained to be the soldier for Jesus Christ that He's calling me to be. And I will not only willingly, but joyfully endure this so that He can be glorified.
Amen.
When do people know that Christ is making a difference in your life? When things are going well and everything's fine? No, it's when you're going through difficulties. It's going through hardships. That's when people can see the difference that Christ makes in your life. That you're still able to have that peace of resignation before Him. Where you're not striving in yourself, but you're allowing Christ to do what He wants to do in your life. Father, I just thank You, Lord God. I thank You, Lord God, for what You're doing in our lives. I thank You for what You're doing in my life. I thank You for what You're doing in young people's lives. I thank You, Lord God, how You're training these young people, Lord God. I thank You, Lord God, how You're training us as parents and adults, Lord God.
Amen.
Father, I thank You, Lord God, that You are not finished with us.
Amen.
That You are doing Your work in our lives, Lord God. You're drawing us closer to You, Lord God. You're equipping us, Lord God, to be more and more like You, Lord God. We thank You for this, Lord. Help us, Lord God, with a beatitude of joy and gratitude to receive the hardships in our lives, Lord God, as Your hand to do what You will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.